Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. If you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Gospel record of Matthew. The Gospel record of Matthew, in Matthew in chapter number 6. Matthew in chapter number 6. We are continuing with our series of prayer, and this series has been wonderful. It has been a great help, working bit by bit to try to understand more and more about prayer. That we know that prayer is something that has been common. People have been talked about prayer, but sometimes people forget about the purpose of prayer, and they forget the person that we're talking to, and that sometimes we can get to the idea that prayer is a ritual. Sometimes we can get to the idea that prayer is just a way to express and to be a relief valve. Sometimes we just use prayer just because we want, hopefully, something to be asked. Sometimes we pray without faith. Sometimes we're just saying words. And we need to be reminded that prayer is talking to a person, a real God in heaven who cares for us, who loves us, and is sufficient. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in the Gospel record of Matthew chapter 6. And this is part of what we call the Sermon on the Mount, one of Jesus' most famous sermons that he preaches from Matthew chapter 5 all the way to chapter 7. And in the middle of this message, Jesus takes time to talk about prayer. Notice with me in Matthew chapter 6, and let's begin at verse number 5. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, it says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But then, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And with this, we could see that the idea that Jesus is teaching on prayer, and we want to just summarize this whole passage with the idea of prayer in faith, or pray in faith. Pray in faith. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount is giving instructions for the citizens of the upcoming kingdom and how they are supposed to behave themselves. And so there's a lot of instructions. With this, we could see the instructions that they are to pray and how to pray, what they're supposed to be praying. We know that Jesus Christ, he is a person of prayer. The book Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7 that he maketh intercession for us. What does that mean? Jesus is up in heaven praying. And so he's not asking us to do something that he's not already doing. Jesus is the example of praying, and that he prays for us. He makes intercession. He goes on to the Father on behalf of us, and that we should be praying. Now, sometimes people get to the idea that, well, if he's praying for us, why should we pray? If he already knows what we need, why should we pray? We should pray because he told us to pray.
Amen.
Out of obedience. In God's word, Jesus teaches us a little bit about prayer, that we know that prayer cannot be a substitute for faith. Prayer can't be a substitute for faith. What do we mean by this? Sometimes people, instead of acting in faith, they pray, but there's no faith behind it. They're just saying the words. Oh, I'm supposed to ask for things, so God, go ahead and give me this. But there's no interaction with God, and there's no faith in God. They're saying words. They're giving a wish list. They're just talking to the air. They're hoping that it'd be caught. But there's a lot of times that there's prayer with no faith. So prayer can't be used as a substitute in faith. The Bible talks about that we're supposed to pray in faith, meaning that those are two separate actions. I'm praying to God because he's my only supply. I'm praying to him because he's the one who could do that is different than, Lord, all right, if you get around to it, thanks a lot for it. There's no faith in that.
Yeah.
A lot of our prayers are wimpy because they have no faith tied to our prayers. We understand that the Bible speaks about that because of our lack of faith, it keeps us from praying. Why don't people pray more? Because they don't believe their prayers matter. They don't believe their prayers matter. Your prayers do matter. As a small example, in the book of Genesis chapter 19, you have Lot, who is not in a right place, who is not behaving himself wisely, who does not look like a Christian. But you know that he made it to the city of Zoar, and he said, Lord, would you not destroy this city? It's just a small city. Can you spare the city? And God spared an entire city from destruction because of a man who was not right with God prayed. Your prayers do matter. And that when you pray by faith, you're praying to a God who could hear and answer prayers. But our lack of faith keeps us from praying. How do I know? Have you ever been surprised when God answers your prayer? Whoa! Why are we surprised? Because we weren't expecting God to answer our prayer. There's a lack of faith there. Why should we be surprised? We should have confidence. This is God's will. This is what God wants. We could pray in faith and saying, God, I'm trusting you to get this accomplished because this is what you desire to be accomplished. Not that I'm telling him his will, but you understand. For example, God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So if I do my best to give the gospel to someone, I can trust that God's more concerned about saving that person than I am, and that God will be doing more to work and draw that person than I ever could.
Amen.
So by faith, Lord, I thank you for saving this man in advance.
Amen.
You know, that's part of that faith is, can you thank God for that prayer? Can you thank God for answering your prayer before you even get to it?
Amen. Yep.
We have a lack of faith, and that lack of faith makes our prayers wimpy. Our lack of faith even keeps us from praying. Why even bother praying? It's not going to happen. Why bother praying? It's not going to happen. Why bother pray? We have such a lack of faith that we won't even pray. Why even bother? Why even try? And even though we may not articulate it that way, it carries out in practice.
Yeah.
Our lack of prayers show that we have a lack of faith. We won't even trust God enough to ask for it. We know that the simple definition of faith is looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, Romans 12:2. That's the definition of faith. What is the definition of faith? Looking unto Jesus. That means that if I'm going to prayer in faith, I'm looking unto Jesus. I'm talking to him. I'm talking to a God who cares. I'm talking to a God who is able. I'm talking to a God who wants to work. And I can go by faith and talk to a real being. That when I pray, my prayers aren't carried around with the wind. I'm just not talking to the ceiling and letting them bounce back down. I'm just not talking to nothing. I'm talking to a real God who cares. And I'm looking up to him. And when I'm looking at a God who is able, then my prayer requests are small.
Amen.
The Bible talks about in the book of Acts, or book of Romans rather, that if God loved me enough that he died on the cross for me, don't you think he also loves you enough to freely give you all things that you need? For example, if I need $5.85, he loved me enough to die on the cross. And he says, no, that's too much. You've crossed the line. He can't give you $5. Well, what happens when you add zeros? Zeros are nothing to God. God hasn't run out of money. He hasn't run out of supply. We run out of faith. Our God is able to meet. I'm talking to a God who is able and working toward. I can look up to him, realizing he is the God of the universe who cares for me and loves for me. And I can pray in faith looking to him. That's part of what's missing in our prayers is that we're not looking at him. We are not to substitute prayer for faith, but pray in faith, believing God. Without faith, prayer is only words. So if you don't mind, let's go back and let's hit this idea that we find about prayer that Jesus teaches in Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 5, we start off with the self-life and prayer. Self-life and prayer. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 5, the Lord Jesus Christ is given an example of people who are not praying in faith. Notice again in verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. The word hypocrite carries the same word we get our word actor. They're pretending to play a part. Something that they are not. They are acting. They're pretending. That's the idea of hypocrites. And so here, these people, which they had right here, you would have people who would stand up in the synagogues. They would be equivalent to our church services. Oh, the preacher's calling on me to pray. This is my time to shine. And they pray, not talking to God, but talking to them.
Amen. Yep.
Talking to the people, that they could be heard of the people. John R. Rice, who was a stickler on prayer, he was in a prayer meeting with some preachers, and he had a preacher who was praying a very long prayer, and he kept quoting verses and then giving the address of the verse. So, as you said in Matthew chapter number 6, and as you said in Hebrews chapter 7, he would go on and just give verses and then give the address. John R. Rice, when he was done, he said, I noticed you had a nice little long prayer there. He said, yes, sir. I like to talk to the Lord. Oh, interesting. I noticed that you quoted a lot of scripture. Yeah, but I like to quote scripture when I pray. Good. I also noticed that you kept giving the addresses so God could look them up in his Bible up in heaven. And he went, oh, no, I gave the addresses for the people out there. He said, that's the problem with your prayer. You were talking to them and not talking to God. So many times, that's why public prayer can become a dangerous thing, because we can end up talking to people rather than talking to God. Sometimes people think they're spiritual and they'll use big names. And God up in heaven of Jehoshaphat and the fat brothers and Jeroboam and the Boam boys. And they'll use long names. Sometimes they'll try to re-preach the message or correct the message in their prayer time. The idea that when we're in public prayer, we're trying to bring people to the place where we're going together to the throne room of grace. That we're leading, and as someone is praying out loud, the rest of us should be taking that prayer and going up to the Lord. But it only is effective as if the person leading is actually talking to God and not to them. Public prayer becomes a dangerous thing, but the hypocrites love, oh, look, the preacher recognizes how spiritual I am. I have an opportunity to show how great I am of a Christian. And God says, guess what? You have your reward. You have your reward. You want people to look at you? So good job. Got your reward. I'd hate to miss out on all my prayer just because I just wanted people to look at me. By the way, this is tempting of everyone that we could get to the place. Oh, public prayer. I better make this good. I better get this polished. I better rehearse. Remember, prayer is just talking to God.
Amen.
And when you're praying out loud with a church service, you're praying out loud, not praying around the world, not catching up on your prayer requests. You're making it short and succinct as we're going up to the Lord together to talk to him. The idea is that we don't want to have any of our flesh involved when we're talking to God. The Bible again says they have their reward, because the goal was people and the goal was not God. So they receive the reward. With our prayers, even if we're talking to God, how selfish are our prayers? How much of our prayers are made to fit me, to take care of me, to make me more comfortable, to make life easier for me? You ever notice that sometimes people will pray for a spouse or a loved one? I want them saved. Why? What do you mean, why? Why do you want them saved? Well, so that way they treat me better. You see, it's about them. It's not about them, and it's definitely not about the Lord. Why should we want them saved? so God gets glory out of it.
Yes.
Not to make my life better. Not to make my life easier. Not to make things more convenient. Which again, a lot of our prayers are about that. About making our life convenient, safe, supplied. It's about us. And then we wonder why our prayers aren't being answered. God says, you have your reward. It's all about you. So guess what? You take care of it. I don't want God to say, you take care of it. I want God to say, I've got this.
Amen.
But our prayer life, we have to guard it from our flesh. In fact, the Bible talks about in the book of James that we're ordered to pray in the spirit. What does that mean? That I need to die to self, my ambitions, my goals, my desires, even in prayer. Lord, what is it that you would have me to do? What is it that would glorify you? Lord, I want to pray in such a way that you were honored, even for these requests.
Amen.
That we have to guard ourselves from the self life, from bringing ourself and our flesh involved in prayer. Notice as we go on, not only the self life in prayer, but we see the secret life in prayer. The secret life in prayer. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 6. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Notice this secret life. When thou prayest, enter into the closet. Now, this isn't necessarily talking about a literal closet, that the only time that you get a hold of God is in a little closet. But it carries the idea of shutting out the rest of the world. Do you know you could do this in the middle of a crowd? Shut out the rest of the world. I'm talking to God. In the middle of a circumstance, I can shutting out the rest of it and I'm talking to God. That I'm getting rid of the distractions, I'm putting aside, which is necessary. I know some people get to the place where they like, because of their flesh is so strong, I just can't pray if people are around. That's a flesh problem, not a prayer problem. You need to be able to die to self and look up to God, and no matter where you're at, tune everything else out. I'm paying attention to God, listening to Him, speaking to Him. I'm talking to a real God. The world, when it's shut out, we don't care what others hear or don't hear. We're not concerned about what others think about our prayer when we're alone with God. We're not praying to be seen of men. We're praying to be seen and heard of God. We have an audience of one. That we're supposed to seek after Him and talk to Him and be with Him and desire what He wants us to have. The idea is that God wants us to have these things. In fact, notice the principle here, and we're going to stay here at Matthew chapter 6, but the parallel passage when Jesus is teaching a prayer is in Luke chapter 11. And Luke chapter 11, He just finishes praying. His disciples say, Lord, teach us to pray like John prayed, with the idea they just saw him pray. Teach us to pray like you just prayed. We want to pray just like you prayed. And Jesus teaches about prayer, which includes the model prayer, which we do have in Matthew chapter 6. Remember, this is not what the Lord actually prayed. How do we know that? Because Jesus never needed to be forgiven of his sins.
Amen.
Jesus never prayed this prayer. If you want to see what Jesus prayed, look at John chapter 17. That's the high priestly prayer. This is Jesus teaching us how we're supposed to pray. Now, it's not saying use these words, because he actually said in verse 7, Matthew 6, verse 7, when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. So, in two verses from now, when he gives the model prayer, he's not saying you say this as a root prayer, as a prayer of routine, a prayer of habit. He's not telling you this is the words you say, because there's no magic words.
Amen.
He's giving us an example and an emphasis. What is the emphasis that we find in this model prayer? Notice verse 9. He says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. All right, so after this is how you pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Amen.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in earth as it is in heaven. And then verse number 11 is an understood you. You give us this day our daily bread. And verse 12, and you forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And you lead us not into temptation. The idea is that the prayer should be all about God.
Amen.
Lord, we need you. We need you to supply. We want your will to be accomplished. We want your name to be glorified. Prayer should be all about God. And so as Jesus is teaching this prayer life, he's not teaching us how to use magic words. He's trying to teach us that it's all about God. In fact, if you never marked all these pronouns that we find in here, it'd be good to remind you when you read through this here. After this manner, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The idea is that it's all about God. God is the most important subject of this prayer, not the magic words, not the things. It should be, we're praying what God desires us to have. What does God want to be accomplished? It's all about God. Lord, I need you. Then with this, we see the simplicity of prayer. The simplicity of prayer. Once again in verse 7, and when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. The idea of the simplicity of prayer, we're just talking to God. Make it simple. If we're just talking to him, it doesn't matter what magic word. Some people are so concerned with trying to use the right words. Do you understand that God understands the utterance of your heart?
Amen. Yeah.
God even understands the words that can't be uttered when you're just, God. God understands all of that.
Yeah.
He knows what you mean by that. He knows how to interpret that. God knows everything about that. So it's not about using magic words or using the correct words. That in prayer, you actually just talk to him the best you know how. Talk to him like you would to me. That you're just, Lord, I need you. I need your help. I don't know what I'm going to do about this. If this doesn't get taken care of, I need you. And even if you don't use complete sentences or correct grammar,
who cares? Yeah.
God can interpret all that. He knows what you mean and can take it. You're just talking to him. Remember, keep it simple. Keep it simple. I'm just talking to God. I'm just speaking to him. And God understands I'm nothing but flesh. He's not looking for magic words. He's not going to reject my petition that if it's not all signed correctly and dotted correctly and, I'm sorry. You use the wrong tense verb. I'm canceling your entire prayer request. God knows we're just talking to him. Verse number 8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask of him. Remember, we teach a principle that God is always previous, that before you even have a need, God already knows how he's going to answer.
Amen.
Then why pray? Because God wants us to exercise the faith to ask. God wants us to get on board with what he is already doing. He wants us to ask anyways, knowing that he can deliver all of those things. God is not caught by surprise when we think. We're not bringing things to his attention as if he didn't know it. We're not telling him some secret. God knows it all. Before there was even a need, he already knew about it. In fact, he allowed that need to cross his desk and he put a stamp of approval saying this would be good for them. This is what they need. They need to exercise faith. So I'm going to let this in there to see if they will exercise faith. I'm going to put a need out there just to see if they'll ask for me to fill it. See if they will trust me. To see if they'll depend upon me. To see if they'll even bother to come talk to me.
Amen.
God knows, and he just wants us to keep it simple. He allows things in our life so we have a reason to talk to him. So many times if we don't have any problems, we don't talk to him. I don't need him. I'm good. I'm fine. So we don't talk to him. So God says, all right, I'm going to just keep you needy. I'm going to keep put things in there. I'm going to put things in your way just to see. I want you to talk to me. I want you to have a reason to talk to me. I want to have a subject that we could talk about. The idea is that it's simplicity of prayer. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. The word sufficiency carries the idea that God is enough. You understand that when you have God, you have everything you need.
Amen.
When you have God, you have anything you need. The goal is God. We need to spend time seeking after him. When we have him, we have all the finances we'll ever need. When we have him, we'll have all the wisdom that we need. When we have him, we have all the strength we'll ever need. Charles Spurgeon, of course, the Prince of Preachers, lived 100 something years ago, was a busy man. Not only did he pastor one of the largest churches in the world, and there were some times that so many people were coming there, he asked his church people not to show up one Sunday a month so that way visitors can fit inside of the building. Can you imagine that?
Wow.
That's a pretty hopping building. Can't fit anymore. You just take your turn once a month, and we get more people in here. Wow. He published all of his messages every week. He ran a monthly publication. He ran an orphanage. He ran a Bible college. He trained preachers. He did so many other things. They had about 1,000 different missions from the church going on all during the week. There was a lot of things going on there. And one day when he was riding his carriage, he became super overwhelmed and said, God, how can I do all of this? And God reminded him, I'm sufficient. I am sufficient. Afterwards, Spurgeon, reflecting on this, said, you know what I learned? The God's sufficiency. It's just as if a bird was flying in the air and said, God, will I have enough atmosphere to fly on? And God says, you have plenty. It's almost like the fish swimming and said, will I have enough ocean to swim in, or will I run out? You have plenty. Going to the mouse in the corn grains in Joseph of the Old Testament days. Will I have enough to eat? I am sufficient. There's more than enough. And then we go up to God. His strength is more than enough. His wisdom is more than enough. His supply is more than enough. God is sufficient. Will the bird ever run out of air to fly through? Will the fish ever run out of ocean to swim through? Our God is sufficient. You know how much money God has? He's so wealthy that they pave the streets up in heaven with gold. He's not going to run out. Just give me a pothole. I'll take that. God is sufficient. God will never run out of wisdom to give. He'll never run out of grace to give. He'll never run out of strength to give. He'll never run out of mercy to give. He is sufficient. So we need to adjust our prayers. And instead of seeking things from his hand, we need to seek his face. And when we have him, we have everything he could ever provide. The goal must be God. Going to him, praying in faith, knowing our God is enough. Our God is enough. We have a sufficiency found in him. We never have to fret. We never have to worry. We never have to wring our hands. We go to God in faith, knowing that he can supply, that he can work, that he can do above and beyond all we can think or ask or do. What a wonderful God that we have. He is sufficient. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And I'm asking that this would encourage the faith of our folks today to remember that you are sufficient, that you are enough, and that when we have you, we have everything and anything we ever need. Tie us more into you. Let us believe this truth and seek you by faith. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920
920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.